UT. If you would, take your Bibles tonight and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll get there in just a moment. We want to have a time tonight, of course, of participating in the Lord's Supper. And then immediately following the Lord's Supper, we want to have a time of testimonies and a time of rejoicing in what God has done. I know we have a number of folks that have served in different areas, and we have a number of new folks, and maybe there be those that would like to testify as to what the Lord has done over the summer months and how he has directed or utilized or prospered and met the needs there for your family. And so after the time of the Lord's Supper tonight, we'll have a time of testimonies and then look forward to the time where we fellowship in the Family Life Center, just rejoicing with those that God has brought our way and thankful for God's abundant provision. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, it is our pattern here at FBT to turn to this passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 23, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth about this church ordinance. We believe in two ordinances of the local church. The first is that of baptism. Baptism, of course, does not save. It is a pattern by which we identify with the Lord Jesus Christ and his body of doctrine and, of course, his local church. And so when I trust Christ as my Savior, I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. It's a great step of obedience and identification. The second ordinance of the local church is that of communion. And we have the opportunity to participate in this time around the Lord's table. And again, I reflect on this matter that participating in this does not save. It does not help you in your salvation. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, he declared that it was finished. And so the necessity of the penalty of our sins, the price was paid there on the cross of Calvary through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's actually a great insult for us as individuals in thinking that we can add anything to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for me to come to God and to say, well, let me add in some good works and let me add in some giving and some monies and help to charitable organizations, it's actually an insult to that by which we are really redeemed, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we believe in the two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he gives them some insight as to some struggles that they were having related to the Lord's Supper. And so he repeats God's command here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 23. And he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." We're very familiar with that upper room and the last Passover, and then Christ instituting the Lord's Supper. The Bible says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." It is our responsibility here in a local church setting to warn each one about participation in the Lord's Supper. It's a very serious time. It is truly a sobering time because I am to, in this time frame, I am to consider my walk with my Savior. The Bible says, "Let a man examine himself." In just a few moments, we'll have a time of private prayer. And during that time, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray that you will ask the Lord, "Lord, is there anything in my life that right now is a hindrance in my walk with you?" You know, it's easy for us to have folks come and look in the showrooms of all of our houses. It's a very famous thing in the Abbey household as I was growing up to have that showpiece, the living room. It had white carpet, and no one dare go in the living room, because if anybody came to visit us, they'd see the living room. And it was the showpiece. But you didn't want to go down to the rec room, because the rec room at any given time at our household could be a disaster, because it was a ping pong room and it was all these different things, but it could be all different manner of things at any given time. And so I'd love for you to see the showpiece of the house, but don't go to the rec room kind of a mindset. But I wonder tonight, if in our private time with the Lord, we'd say, Lord, okay, for too long I've allowed what I've thought was the openness of my living room, but I've not allowed you to walk all the way through my life. What is it in my life that you fully know that I've been keeping or harboring or protecting, concealing in my own mindset? We know, of course, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth. Long before we acknowledge it, God knew it. But in the time of private prayer, I pray that each one of us would examine ourselves and just say, okay, Lord, I want to do right by you in every area of my life. So it's a very serious time. It's a very sobering time. Some would say tonight, okay, well, what are the qualifications for participating? Well, first, in order to participate in the Lord's Supper and to think on remembering what he did on the cross of Calvary, you must know him as your Savior. This is the critical matter for each one. If there be someone tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, then by all means, it is best for you to allow the cup and the bread to pass by. The better thing to do would be tonight to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we would certainly love to see that happen. The Bible says that we're all born in sin. The Bible says that our sin deserves a punishment, for the wages of sin is death. But the Bible says that there's a gift that's been provided, and that gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and gave himself a ransom for each and every one of us. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Perhaps there'd be one or more people tonight that are gathered in this time. Perhaps you're here with family, perhaps you're here with friends, and you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior. Then tonight would be a great night to receive Jesus Christ and to know for sure that from that time of death from this life, that you enter eternity in heaven. The Bible says for the believer, it's to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. First of all, it's salvation. Secondly, as I've already mentioned, it's about examining ourselves and to be in right standing with Almighty God. Lord, as much as is within me, and as much as I know, I have confessed things, I have forsaken things, and I'm walking in the path that you'd have me to walk. Sometimes parents will ask me about their children participating. You know, I like to leave that up to moms and dads. You know the nature of your child. It's not a playtime. It's not a time for them to just participate in the juice and the bread and to have it just be a jovial time or anything like that. It's a time for them to discern the nature of remembering what Jesus Christ did for us. And so if you have a youngster that has been saved and that to your knowledge is walking with the Lord, if you believe they're ready and mature to be able to handle this, then by all means we invite you to have them participate. Each one tonight has the chance in this time of participation to reflect on the great sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each person that's gathered has the opportunity to think on the shed blood on the cross of Calvary. As we sang those songs tonight, and as I heard and listened to you sing and then read the words, I couldn't help but think of the nails that pierced his hand, of the thorns that placed on his brow. Couldn't help but think of the staff that was used to bring such violence against the Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't help but reflect upon the soldiers and everything that they did against the Lord. And throughout all of that, Jesus Christ did that for me, and he did that for you.